This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, June 20th. I'm Patricia Naft. Yesterday's search for missing 68-year-old Zacharias McEwen, we are happy to report, resulted positively. Mr. McEwen was found yesterday evening near 10th and Bluff Streets in Delta. New information has been released from Garfield County Sheriff's Office involving a shooting on May 8th. Colorado State Patrol troopers Eugene Hoffacker and Shane Gosnell were traveling together on I-70 when they conducted a motorist assist. When motorist Thomas Ornelas fired several rounds at Trooper Hoffacker, Trooper Gosnell saw his fellow trooper's life was in danger and fired a total of 14 rounds before he felt Ornelas was no longer a threat. Trooper Hoffacker was shot in his femoral artery and then transferred to Valley View Hospital in Glenwood Springs, where he underwent multiple surgeries. The investigation of Ornelas' vehicle revealed 4.7 ounces of cocaine. An autopsy on his body was performed and revealed a blood alcohol content of 0.186, equivalent to 8 drinks for a man weighing 150 pounds, and evidence of cocaine in his bloodstream. The Republican primary ends next Tuesday, and Edens, the Delta County clerk and recorder, is retiring, leaving the position open. There are two candidates running, Patricia Luna and Terry Stevenson. The county clerk and recorder's office deals with the DMV, elections, real estate records, birth, death, and marriage certificates, keeping records and minutes for the county commissioners, and more. Because the position is more of an administrative role than, say, a mayor or senator, this race has been focused on experience. This is Patricia Luna.
My name is Patricia Luna, and I live in Cedar Ridge currently. I am employed by the town of Cedar Ridge as the town clerk and the assistant town administrator. I have worked for 22 years in local government. 6 of those years I worked as a deputy county clerk and recorder in La Plata County, and then for about 15 years have worked as a town clerk for both the town of Mancos and the town of Cedar Ridge. I certainly encourage people to get out and vote, and would appreciate support. If they have any questions, I'm always available to talk or to visit with them so that they have a little, you know, if there's more information that they need about me, I'm always happy to get those phone calls and visit with people.
That was Patricia Luna. Here's Terry Stevenson.
I'm Terry Stevenson, candidate for County Clerk and Recorder. I have been chief deputy since December 2007. That has given me the experience and the certification to be able to conduct elections. I am familiar with motor vehicle and able to do transactions in motor vehicle. I am the recording supervisor, which also entails being a deputy registrar for the state of Colorado. We have maintained our records so well with vital statistics that we have received perfection awards for the last few years. I have been involved in the budget process, so I'm familiar with how the budget for our office is set and understand that fiscal responsibility that comes with the position. With my experience and my training and knowledge of the position, it just will be a seamless transition for the public and for the staff.
That was Terry Stevenson. Both candidates are running for the Delta County clerk and recorder position. When it comes to water, Colorado's kids can expect to face a challenging future. A growing population and an increasing demand may mean difficult trade-offs. That's one reason educators and policymakers say it's critical to teach young people about water management. As part of our Connecting the Drops series on Colorado water, Sam Fuqua visited 2 water education programs to see how they're handling this complicated topic.
On a breezy spring morning in South Denver, there's a line of about 30 teenagers snaking down a hill at Overland Pond, a little urban park next to the South Platte River. The kids are passing golf balls to each other really fast and dropping many of them.
So we have students up a hill that are representing the headwaters, and they're passing little golf balls at different paces depending on what season we're representing.
Mary Palumbo is the Youth Development Director for the Greenway Foundation, a Denver-based river conservation group that organized this outing.
Lots of golf balls were flying everywhere, and we had a bunch of flooding represented by the balls dropped and sitting around some of the bends. And right now we're moving into summertime, and so students are passing the balls a little bit slower, and we're kind of using this as a tool to talk about the variables in water and how it's not always consistently available to us.
This lesson in stream flow dynamics makes high school junior Marcos Morales think of a water slide.
Because how the river moves in different directions and turns a lot of corners, the sides of the water slide are actually bigger and more like protective, so you don't fall out. And I was thinking about that.
Mary Palumbo says it's important that these activities offer students a chance to make a connection to their own lives.
Really, you know, kids want something that is relevant to their lives, and I think just getting them out to a place that feels like nature, even though we're city kids and we live in the middle of, you know, highways and all that stuff, we still have a connection to nature.
80 miles west of Denver, another group of kids is getting ready for a different water lesson. This is the Keystone Science School near Breckenridge. Students come from all over the state for an overnight stay and outdoor study experience in and around the school's 23-acre campus. Dave Miller is the director of school programs.
We really teach students that water is a finite resource. It's something that has to be treated with care and has to be something that is managed properly.
This day's lesson starts with a short hike into the hills to a small stream. It's about 4 feet wide and full of spring snowmelt. The students are lifting rocks out of the stream and turning them over. They're looking for little bugs called aquatic macroinvertebrates.
Oh, there's something.
What's that?
Oh, there's a bunch of them.
Really?
Oh, and there's another one.
Oh, cool. Do you ladies want to take that up to our ice cube tray so other people can see it in a bit?
Science school instructor Kristen Greenwald says it's part of a lesson on stream health.
Depending what they find, it will tell us perhaps how polluted the stream is. It's just one indicator. You sometimes can find chemical tests that don't tell you that there's any pollution in the stream, but then if you find no macroinvertebrates, it tells you there's more going on than you realize and you need to do further tests.
After a lunch break, Greenwald pulls a big bag of chocolate chips from her backpack. She explains to the kids that it's time for a lesson in prior appropriation, the system that determines who gets how much water in Colorado. She lines the students up and starts pouring lots of chips into the cupped hands of the students at the head of the line, those representing the senior water rights holders.
So you have some of the oldest water rights in Colorado. Okay. So you're going to get a lot of chocolate chips today. And if at any point you would like me to come back and give you more, feel free, just let me know if you run out.
By the time she reaches the students at the end of the line, the junior water rights holders, she's running out of chips. It's these types of lessons and more that educators say will help inform the students about law, hydrology, and other water-related issues, information they'll need in the decades to come when they're making decisions as voters, homeowners, and policymakers. For Connecting the Drops and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Sam Fuqua.
Connecting the Drops is a year-long collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio Stations and the Colorado Foundation for Water Education. Find out more at yourwatercolorado.org.
Up next, it's the Friday Morning Music Mix with your host, Alan. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.